Welcome all again this morning. We thank those who are visiting for joining us. We are going to look at a text this morning in which Jesus talks about, or gives us two stories, parables as they were. The first one talks about praying. And the other one talks about how we are to look at ourselves and others. How we are to see ourselves as a person and how we are not to look down on others. Because God does not look down upon us. When He looks upon us, He sees us in His Son, Jesus Christ, forgiven, cleansed, and blessed. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always or ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a judge or a city in a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord saith, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Amen. Please be seated. Now, first of all, we have to understand a little bit back in chapter 17 of this. Jesus is talking about his demise. He's talking about the end of time. And so, he gives them this parable for one reason. The first one, that they would not lose heart. And he told them a parable to the effect that they would always pray and not lose heart. This last week, we had our men's Bible study, and we are studying right now we're going through the Lord's Prayer. And we happen to be on Lead Me Not Into Temptation, but Deliver Us From Evil. Now it's interesting because a lot of what Luther has to say on this has to do with realizing that it is God who saves us from all our temptations. Who saves us from death and the devil, and even from our own flesh, which would tempt us into all kinds of things. But the biggest thing that he would tempt us in is not what we would think, the actions, but into unbelief. And that's really what Jesus is telling this parable for. That the people, when all the bad stuff starts happening, when things are just going rotten, that they would not lose faith that God is still in control, that God is still in charge, and that he still will deliver his people. And so he gives them this story. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that city who was kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. Now this judge, of course, has been set up in authority to pass out justice and to settle disputes between people. But like most times, or many times happens within mankind, when you are given power, you are also doled out usually into corruption. Because with power comes corruption. And with ultimate power comes ultimate corruption. And so we have this judge who is over a widow. Someone who has no advocate for her. She is the lowest of low. There's really no power that she has. She has no ability to change her fortunes. She's going to the judge that he would use his power in a righteous way to give her justice over whatever it was that happened. That her adversary would pay his price. And of course, she could really do nothing for him. So why would the judge pay any attention? A lot of the ways we work as human beings, well, they can't really do anything for me, so why would I help them out? I'll help out those who certainly can help me, but those who are down and lowly, we're not going to deal with them. Because what's the point? They're not going to do anything in return for me. But the widow was persistent. Give me justice. And for a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continually coming. Now here's what happens. She becomes the pest. The squeaky wheel. She keeps going back and back and back. And finally the judge goes, I don't want her in front of me anymore. And so he gives her justice. Now we think, well, that's really kind of weird that Jesus is comparing this to prayer. But now we got to look at how he describes this whole thing in verse 4 or in verse 6. Then the Lord says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And he said that I will give her justice. He said, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Now again, we have to bring this back into context. Jesus has been talking about the end of the world, about how when rough times come, when the tribulation is here, when we're in the midst of the struggle, not to lose heart. Not to be let down. One of the reasons that Luther says that Jesus put, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil within the Lord's Prayer, was that each and every time we prayed it, that we would realize that God is in control and that He is going to answer our prayers. He is going to protect us and that we can no longer protect ourselves. And this is really what Jesus kind of is coming to in this. Always pray So when you're in the midst of the struggle, if you go to God, you are reminding yourself also that God is in control. And I think it's really neat because prayer does dual things. One, it tells God what your needs are. And two, it reminds you that God is in control. In the midst of all the stuff, and in the midst of the trials and tribulations that we face in this life, in the midst of sin or whatever particular circumstances we are in, when we go to God, we remind ourselves that God is still there. That even when we're in trouble, He's there. Even when things look so bleak that nothing good could come out of it, God is still there. He hasn't left us in times of trouble. And that's what He is telling those who are listening to Him. He does not want them to lose heart. And that's why He tells this parable, that you ought to always come to Me so you can never lose heart. Prayer is not just for God. God knows what our needs are. Prayer is for us, for the strengthening of our faith, so that we can know that He's still there, that we continually rely on Him. I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. And He's talking about us. And then He asked the question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? He wants us to pray so that we do not lose our faith. So that we do not fall to the temptation of unbelief. So we do not come to this point where, well, God promised it, but it just doesn't seem to be coming true. You see, because we all can fall into that trap. We talked about that partially this morning. People who are older or who may hold more position in a church, and I'll use the example of pastor, people think, well, they got it made. You know, they're up there and they don't ever struggle with any of these things. They don't struggle with not unbelief. They don't struggle with times when they're going, is this really true? That's a lie. Pastors face the same struggles that everyone else does. The only difference between you and I is I was called to a different position. We all are human beings and we all struggle with the same exact things. My pride would like to be like the publican who comes up in our next one, who says, look at me. I am so good. And look at you down there. But that's not the way this works. You see, we all are in the same boat. We all struggle with sin. We all struggle with unbelief in that, man, how can a rotten person like me deserve the forgiveness of God? Guess what? You don't. But He gives it to you anyway. When He allowed His Son to be nailed upon the cross, He pronounced you holy, righteous, and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful that is. And so we can't do what happens in our next parable. And He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. We ought to pay attention to this. Because unfortunately, the church is guilty of this all the time. We think because we go to church, because we go to Bible studies, because we do all these different things, and because we don't do certain things, that somehow we're better than others. We're not. And this is what this parable tells us. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now again, we have to understand this. A Pharisee is a keeper of the law. He knows exactly, and he follows the letter of it day by day, all the time. They even had all kinds of extra laws that they had set down, that this is what you got to do. And they made sure. They went through all the hoops and all the steps. And a tax collector, he was the worst. Because he extorted money for themselves using the power of the government, and they lined their own pockets. Some would say politicians do that today. But this is the thing. The people of Israel and the people that were understanding this knew Pharisee holy, tax collector, scum of the earth. And so the Pharisee gets up. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. So easy for us to go there. So easy for us to look out upon the world or out across who the people is we know and go, man, am I glad I'm not like them. Guess what? We are. One of my favorite examples of this is in teaching confirmation class, and we were going through the Ten Commandments and we got to thou shalt not murder. And I asked the kids, I said, so, you don't do that, huh? Well, no, we don't murder. Uh-uh. And I didn't even go to the point where Jesus says, if you are angry with your brother, you have committed murder. I went the other way. I said, okay. So, if you were in charge of the world, what would you do? Well, I'd make sure that people had plenty of food, that everybody was taken care of, and that, you know, everything was kosher and nice. Okay, well, what happens if somebody didn't want to follow you? You have all these great ideas, but they just didn't agree. Well, I suppose I'd somehow have to make them. Well, what if they're going to fight you? They're not going to... Well, we have to throw them in jail. Well, that's fine. But what if they're still fighting and they're never going to give up? Well, I guess I'd have to kill them. Yeah. You see, that's what happens. Human beings have this idea that they are right, and people who would oppose them, even in the good things that they're trying to do, will come to the point that they'll commit murder. And we are unjust. We treat people that we like much better than treat people that we don't like. And we're adulterers, whether we like to admit it or not. Because Jesus puts us in the same boat. If you look on someone with lust, we have committed adultery within our heart. And so, we get this Pharisee up there going, I don't do all those things, and look at that nasty tax collector. Look what he has done. I am so much better. I mean, think of all those things I do. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of everything I get. I have done all the right stuff. And now we get the tax collector. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector knew who he was, understood who he was, and asked God for mercy. God will never withhold his mercy from people who ask for it. As a matter of fact, God loved the whole world so much that he sent his begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. God allowed his Son's blood to flow so that all could be forgiven. But those who think that they have no need of God, no need of forgiveness, they're like the Pharisee, standing and looking down on everyone else. And Jesus says this, I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We have no ability and no reason to stand up and think that we are better than others. But we are to realize that God needed to be merciful to us, sinners, and that indeed he shed his blood, this blood of his Son Jesus Christ, to wash away the sin of the world, and that includes yours and mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks that again you have called us into question by your word. First of all, Father, that you have given us hope that we can always come to you in prayer. No matter what time of turmoil or what's going on within our lives, that Father, we can turn to you and you will hear our prayer. And secondly, Father, that you have called us not to be proud. Not in our actions or in what we do. But Father, that we would all come to the point that we realize that we need to be at the foot of the cross, asking for your grace and your mercy. And Father, then knowing full well that you will grant it to each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for this grace and this message. We thank you, Father, for all who are here, and we ask, Father, that you would help us as we leave here to go out and to spread this message of great hope and love, that all people would come to know your Son and to know your love for us through him. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Please raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.